Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew's in the studio. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, Ben, I feel like we're kind of in that tax lull at this point in time.
It's probably good for you.
Yeah, we've got through tax filing season, mm-hmm. and I feel like might be a little bit of a calm before the storm, so to speak, with potential tax reform looming in the Congress. Obviously, Trump's released his plan, mm-hmm. And I'm sure there'll be great debate about what needs to be done with tax reform in this country. So it kind of feels like we're just in this little area where we're just a little bit of a lull, as I said mm-hmm. before. But there's a lot of things happening.
Yeah, one of the things with legislation, though, is that it can often be retroactive, right?
That's right. Yeah, retroactive legislation. So it'll be interesting to see how they pursue this tax reform mm-hmm. legislation, whether or not anything gets done. I mean, here we are. We got a big build up to a health care law, repeal and replace, and then mm-hmm. fizzles out, and now it's back in the news again. So you just never know with this stuff at this point in time. Mm-hmm. But there are some regulations that have been passed. And today I want to get into a little bit of a new FINRA regulation mm-hmm. Entitled the Financial Exploitation of Specified Adults. Mm-hmm. And here we are with a regulation, and it's a banking regulation.
Yeah.
And basically what we're looking here is to try to protect seniors who a broker may feel is being exploited in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a pretty interesting law. Obviously we have various means and mechanisms to try to protect seniors. There's, of course, getting a good power of attorney is a good way to make sure you entrust someone with your financial affairs. There's guardianships, that you can file with the clerk of court and make sure that a person who maybe does not have their faculties about them and can't handle their financial affairs, gets a good guardian who's appointed, and those require reports to the clerk of court regarding, how assets are managed, maintained, and dispersed. Mm-hmm. So there's another level. This level, Ben, this FINRA regulation and Rule 2165, actually now permits brokers to place temporary holds on disbursements of funds, from accounts of specified adults. And they define specified adults basically as anyone who's over 65.
Right.
Or anyone who's over 18 who the broker reasonably believes has a mental or physical impairment that renders the individual unable to protect his or her own interest.
Okay. I would imagine where this comes into play is that somebody shows up, and maybe they've got a letter, or maybe they actually have a power of attorney, mm-hmm. that says, my mom's account now, she wants to move it over to here where it just happens to be some property I'm buying. You know, I want to cash out and move it over to here. Is that kind of a scenario that someone might say, look, you know, I've been, the broker might say, well, look, and I've dealt with her for years.
Exactly.
Maybe I should drop by or call her.
I think that's a good example of when this new regulation will come into play. I think, one of the big things here is something that's out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And I think you kind of hit that one, which is basically, let's just say that you're moving along. And, you're getting your dividend checks deposited into your account, and that's just the running way. Maybe you need a distribution or sell some of your securities here and there to pay for specific items, like, oh, need a new roof on the house. Let's cash out some securities and put a new roof on there. And then lo and behold, you come along, and then now you're asking for a big distribution. Mm-hmm. Maybe it comes from a third party, like you said. Maybe it comes from a power of attorney. And there's really no explanation as to what the funds are needed for. Now, I mean, there doesn't have to be explanation, mm-hmm. but the fact is I believe those would raise the red flags where, 2165 would allow the broker to say, let's put a pause on this for the time being.
Right. And then what happens though?
So it's interesting. So basically if the broker believes that, some type of financial exploitation is going on here, he's permitted. Number one, Ben.
Not required. Right.
To do this. So this is something that the broker would have to feel like, needs to be done. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, no requirement here. It's not like he has a duty or anything uh-huh. to make sure this financial exploitation, does not occur. The other thing is that he places a hold on disbursements. So keep in mind, a sale could still go through. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have the funds sitting into account waiting to be dispersed to the particular customer. And the hold would be temporary. And we're looking at 15 days for the hold. And then also there can be an additional 15 days given to investigate the matter internally.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, keep in mind that this is one of those things where the broker would then decide, okay, I'm permitted to put this hold on there. And within 2 days, he has to give notice to the individual that he is placing a hold on these particular funds. And he has to do that either, it's kind of strange, either orally or in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I'm sure it'll be in writing if that's the case. And then basically they go through their internal review.
Mm-hmm.
What's also interesting is that the financial exploitation bin, and we mentioned this may be something that's out of the blue where, you know, you get this strange request and the broker just doesn't feel quite right about it. You know, the way that the financial exploitation is written in the definition says occurred or will occur, attempted or will be attempted. So it's written basically where even if this hasn't even happened before, mm-hmm. or there hasn't been any instances of any financial exploitation of an elderly individual, that as long as he believes in good faith that the there's an attempt, mm-hmm. or there will be an attempt to exploit the senior, then this regulation, you know, kicks in and he's allowed to place a hold. And then basically it goes on further to define what a financial exploitation is. And I thought the interesting thing is specifically it mentions in here, an act or omission taken by a guardian or mm-hmm. a power of attorney.
Huh.
So these are exactly some of the scenarios where me and you were saying this is where it's likely to occur, which is basically where we've got someone who even has apparent or actual authority
mm-hmm.
to transact business on this particular account, either through a court order and a guardianship or through a valid legally mm-hmm. filed power of attorney with a register of deeds. And, you know, the broker still can say, this doesn't pass the smell test.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong here. There's something that needs to be done. So let's just hit the pause button and let's have a temporary hold on matters.
So they put the pause button mm-hmm. and they find out that it doesn't seem to be up and up. Then what?
Yeah, then what? That's a good question. And that's where I think this is the kind of the rule that just says, okay, we're hitting the pause button here, temporary hold. But where do we go from there?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, it's not quite clear. Because, you know, what I was trying to play out the scenario is number one, okay, let's say that there's a temporary hold that's placed, but this is a good faith, you know, this really is, there's no funny business, no monkey business going on here. I mean, what's the procedure for making sure you can get this internal review, you know, moved along as quickly as possible?
Right.
And then number two, the scenario, like you were mentioning is, okay, now all of a sudden we realize that, okay, there is monkey business, there is funny business going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the procedure then? What's the broker going to do?
Yeah,
exactly. Cause this hold is obviously temporary. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how they flesh this out.
Do you think, you might see brokerage houses put in rules, for example, that just say, we're going to hold anything over certain amount of dollars?
So
the broker, because otherwise isn't the broker kind of liable at that point? I mean, they say someone who would have been maybe on the receiving end of some funds might say, well, you knew or you should have known.
Yeah, I doubt it based upon what I'm seeing here. And the reason for it is the big permits word, because I think that puts the broker off the hook. I mean, he's just going to say, well, you know, in my reasonable good faith estimation, I didn't believe there was anything going on here, so I didn't think that it warranted me taking, you know, action under Rule 2165.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that this is probably not likely a scenario where you're just going to have all these holds being put on accounts. Mm-hmm. I think it will be a situation, though, Ben, where if you do have specific need and maybe it comes from a power of attorney, more documentation may be required in order to make sure that we avoid 2165 getting implemented and where there is a temporary mm-hmm. hold placed on any kind of disbursement of funds. The other big thing here, Ben, is that along with this rule 2165, which is the financial exploitation rule, there was also FINRA rule 4512, which is a customer account info rule.
Right.
And this basically just says that they would like individuals to designate a person who's a trusted contact. Now, I think this is kind of interesting because here we are where usually the person you're going to trust the most and be your trusted contact is likely to be your power of attorney or a guardian in that scenario.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they're not out for your best interest, I don't know what this customer account info rule is going to do to try to help matters. And the other big thing is that it just requires them to make reasonable efforts to get this name of this person. So basically what that means, Ben, is they could just put a block on a form and say, fill in your trusted person here. Mm-hmm. And if you choose not to fill it out, then, you know, there's not going to be anything that's going to come back and get you on that. You're still going to be able to have funds at that brokerage house. There's not going to be a problem there. So I'm interested to see how that one plays out too, because to
me,
it's
like a regulation with no teeth.
Yeah, that one is designed to kind of say, okay, well, if this temporary hold gets placed, let's have this contact person that we can contact. But what if the person who's the contact is the one that's doing the exploiting? I mean, you know, you're in a circle here. So I think those are very interesting points, that weren't maybe fleshed out in its entirety. Maybe we'll get some more underlying regulations with regards to these. I think the premise of this, Ben, is very, 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 very good in the sense that, you know, 10,000 Americans will turn 65 every day for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at 75% of our financial assets being held by these individuals who are going to turn 65. And we see at Harvell and Collins a number of times, you know, people taking advantage of individuals because guess what? The almighty dollar looms. So, I believe that this regulation is in the right place. The problem is, and we've identified several, which is how is this going to be implemented and what are the safeguards and means to make sure that if this rule gets put on an account, how do we navigate the waters from that point moving forward?
Where do you go with that information if you find out there is something untoward going on?
Exactly.
Yeah. If you want to find out more about how to make your tax life work better, you can call on the folks at Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law, as always. And you can find Andrew by email to afoster@harvellandcollins.com. That's afoster@harvellandcollins.com. And you can also give them a call and set up the appointment at 726-9050. And Andrew, we'll see you next time.